Heavenly Father, we thank you that according to your word that you are perfecting that which concerns each of your children. Now, please open our eyes, the eyes of our understanding, to hear what you say by your Spirit through your word in this message. In Jesus' name, amen.
It would seem to be that the older we get, the more years and seasons we've lived through, the more we're going to appreciate the rainy season and any other weather that is not sunshine and a perfect breeze with sunny day, about 70 degrees. That's the perfect day as we would view it. But the older we get, the more we might see that the best days are when the rain falls, as it would relate to our lives when the rain falls on our parade, because the rain is going to fall on every parade. Perhaps Job 14:21 is one of the verses we get this particular principle from. Job 14:1, man that is born of a woman is of few days and full of troubles. So many troubles that fall upon each and every one of us at times. I often heard disciples of Christ say they don't know how the lost put up with this. How can they even handle it without the Lord? And then we also know that they cannot handle it as well without Christ, the Savior, the Protector, the Deliverer, our very salvation. One particular writer captures the seven things that Job and other scriptures speak about here in Job 14:1, where it says, man that is born of a woman is of few days. His life is brief, in other words, on this earth, even if he lives to be 80 or 90 years old, in light of eternity. And it's also, what? Full of trouble. And here are those seven things this commentator notes based on Job 14:1, that man is what? He is born of a woman. Seven facts about man. He is born of a woman. Number two, he lives only a few days. Number three, his life is full of trouble. Number four, he comes forth like a flower. Number five, he is soon cut down like a flower. Number six, he flees through life like a shadow. And number seven, he does not continue long. And in light of this, saints, we are to consider our lives and what they are now and what they can be if we'll repent and do things God's way and only God's way, which we discover only through the study of Scripture. His word is a lamp unto our feet and a light unto our path. Psalm 119:105. Job chapter 14, verse 2. Job 14, he cometh forth like a flower and is cut down. He fleeth also as a shadow and continueth not. And perhaps as we read the 14th chapter of Job, we recognize that the illustrations communicated there in one aspect are quickening us, or designed to quicken us, to understand the brevity of this life. In the book of James, we read that our lives are like a vapor, and they appear but for a moment, and then what? They vanish away. And then we see a crescendo verse concerning this truth, I would say, and that would be Psalm 90, verse 12. David, or the psalmist, prayed, "So teach us, Lord, to number our days, that we may apply our hearts unto knowledge." Oh, the wisdom, saints, in the poetic books of the Bible. In fact, some call James the Proverbs of the New Testament. And what section of the canon of Holy Scripture do we term to be, and rightfully so, the poetic books of the canon of Holy Scripture? That would begin with the book of Job, and then it would go where? Through the book of Song of Solomon. So it would be Job, then Psalms, Proverbs, Ecclesiastes, and Song of Solomon. That would be five books in the poetic book part of the library of Holy Writ, Holy Scripture. And let me encourage you, I like to feed my spirit every morning on some portion or chapter or chapters of the poetic books of the Bible. There's so much wisdom to mine out, so many golden nuggets of truth straight from heaven, straight from God for us, including some of the verses we just mentioned. That would be, again, Job, Psalms, Proverbs, Ecclesiastes, and Song of Solomon. And there are, by the way, and I encourage people, especially new disciples of Christ, to read the proverb of the day, which makes it very easy to remember. And every proverb, every chapter of the book of Proverbs is loaded with divine wisdom. And the more you read through it, the more you will grasp, your understanding will be enlightened. Proverbs has 31 chapters, 31, one for each day of the calendar month. That's easy to remember, isn't it? So of Job, and you can read the whole chapter of Job 14. Have you ever heard somebody say, there's a change coming? Well, check this out. We all have a change to look forward to, saints. Check it out. In fact, in verse 14, he says, if a man die, shall he live again? In other words, is there life after death on this earth? Then he continues, all the days of my appointed time will I wait till my change come. That means we're going to change locations at the moment of death, saints. Hebrews 9:27, it is appointed unto men once to die, but after this, the judgment. Every one of us is going to stand before God to give account for our lives on this earth. Judgment to come, quote unquote, is one of the six principal or foundational elemental doctrines of the Christian faith, of the Bible, found in Hebrews 6, verse 1 and 2. Notice that born-again believers, we're going to stand and give account to God for our lives in Christ on this earth. Romans chapter 14, verse 10 says, we shall all stand before the judgment seat of Christ. We're going to give account for our lives, and I believe it gives us a little bit more insight into that in 2 Corinthians chapter 5, where the apostle says in verse 6, therefore we are always confident, that is, in this life in Christ, knowing that while we are at home in the body, remember we just read in the book of Job chapter 14 that there's a change coming. Job 14:14, if a man die, shall he live again? It asks you a question so as to prompt your listening ear. All the days of my appointed time will I wait till my change come. Again, there's a change coming for every one of us, and we should live in light of that change, knowing that God is going to bring us before his holy throne to be judged. There's going to be two judgments. One is going to be the judgment for those who die in Christ, as we're glancing upon here in 2 Corinthians 5, and there's going to be the great white throne judgment, Revelation 20. But notice he says here in 2 Corinthians 5, 6, while we are at home in the body, we are absent from the Lord. He speaks as a disciple. For we walk by faith, not by sight. And that's essential to God. We must finish in faith. And I think all of us could rejoice. The biblical truth is that the way we finish is more important than the way we started. If you're like me, you've stumbled along the way and wish you hadn't. Paul said that he had fought a good fight at the end of his life. I have fought a good fight. I've finished my course. Are you finishing the course God put you on obediently, beloved, and in faith? I have fought a good fight, Paul said. He could look back upon his life in this world before the change, as Job calls it in Job 14:14, was about to come, that he was going to transition from this life into the presence of God. And in 2 Timothy 4:6-8, Paul says that he had fought a good fight. He had finished his course that God gave him. He did the ministry the Lord called him to do. And perhaps we can behold that that's individual. It also has many common things. They're all going to be biblical. But he says, I have fought a good fight. I have finished my course. I have kept the faith. Now, my friend in Christ, can you stop today? And would you be able to, if you knew you were going to die today or tomorrow, and be able to declare that you've been faithful to God, in that you have fought a good fight, you stayed the course, you endured to the end, you're seeking God, you're calling upon the name of Jesus in prayer and declaring his name to those around you, you had fought a good fight, living by faith, not by sight, you have finished your course. Could you say, I have finished my course? I am confident in such. I'm not guilty for not being committed to the Lord, not obeying him, God forbid. Can you say, I have kept the faith, not a faith, the faith? That would be you follow the word of God and the faith that is defined by Holy Scripture and nothing else. Could you say that today, friend? If you were getting ready to pass on and you knew it like Paul did, I'm asking that as a rhetorical question to quicken us to do what we read in 2 Corinthians 13:5. Examine yourselves whether you be in the faith. So Paul says in 2 Timothy 4:6-8, for I am now ready. But before that, now we have the familiar verse passage where he's talking about preaching the word all the time and knowing that people who will not endure or hold themselves accountable to sound doctrine will be coming, and you'll preach to them and they will not obey, and they shall turn away their ears from the truth and shall be turned unto fables or myths and stories, anything but the word of God. Then he says that we are to watch in all things, but watch thou in all things, endure afflictions. Another place he says in this very book, chapter 2, endure hardship as a soldier, a good soldier of Jesus Christ, endure hardness. Then he says here in verse 5 of chapter 4, 2 Timothy, but watch thou in all things, endure afflictions. Do the work of an evangelist. Amen. Do you have some Jesus tracts? Do you have some good gospel tracts that use the King James Bible, friend, so that you can communicate the glorious saving gospel of our Lord? Are you distributing them? I mean, how easy could it be? In fact, those giving people a tract with a big smile of the joy of the Lord on your face and countenance shining with his love, joy, and peace, etc., is a home run for Jesus and for you to be involved in and be blessed to let your light, the light of Christ, so shine before men that they may see your good works that God is using you to do and glorify your Father which is in heaven. Matthew 5, verse 16, I want you to memorize that verse. And remember that you have the ability in our day with this technology. Now, that doesn't mean you shouldn't speak the word, or I'm called to speak the word to the body of Christ and the lost, but sometimes a great smile and a Jesus loves you and he died for our sins in English or Spanish, whatever is appropriate, and a handing forth of the Jesus tract is probably a bigger home run. And by the way, that tract is dead on the gospel message from the scriptures, and so it never misses. Thank God. Sometimes we minister better than other times, but that tract is going to clearly establish the things that sinners need to hear, and that's that they are sinners and they're going to stand in judgment, as we're talking about in this message, to give account to a holy God who is also a God of love, and he gave his only begotten Son for our sins on the cross, shedding his precious blood so that we could be forgiven. Amen. I like to tell the people here in Mexico about how the blood of Jesus, the glorious precious blood of Jesus, will wash away all your sins if you'll go home and repent and receive him into your life, surrendering your life. And I even point to that prayer on the back that they can use if they want to pray to the Lord in repentance. Somebody says, I don't believe in the sinner's prayer. Well, good for you. Get over yourself. I like to give sinners a track to run on. It's called the biblical track. Give them the biblical track to run on. You can do it the way you want, but I hear these people whining about that all the time or sometimes. Why would anybody be upset that you're telling people, go pray a biblical prayer from your heart. What do you think? God's not going to save them? I prayed a sinner's prayer when the Lord saved me. You're going to argue with that? Go ahead. I don't care. That doesn't change the reality. So we're going from tears to tearing things up here. But watch thou in all things, endure afflictions, do the work of an evangelist, make full proof of thy ministry. Are you making full proof of your ministry, friend? Are you, my friend in Christ? Are you fighting a good fight of faith? Are you finishing your course in obedience by faith? God has shown every one of his people what he's called us to do, and it's serve him by serving others, saved and lost. Very simple. Loving the Lord and loving your neighbor as yourself. Every day and everywhere you go, being prayed up and full of the word and walking in the mind of Christ, which is to do what? It's lift up everybody else above ourselves, friends. We don't live in this world as Paul, who's writing these words in 2 Timothy 4, is telling us. We're here to elevate Jesus and everybody else above ourselves. That's the mind of Christ, Philippians chapter 2. I was reminded, speaking of this today, of how God told Abraham, he said of Abraham in Genesis chapter 18, verse 19, "For I know him." God said, "I know him." Don't you know Jesus said that he knows his sheep in John 10? This is the father of faith, the blessed Abraham, whom God brought Israel into existence via this man. Amazing. "For I know him." And why could God use him so powerfully? Let's read it. In Genesis 18, 19, "For I know him," I know Abraham, "that he will command his children and his household after him." Now, I love the militancy that I, or the military aspect, as many of you men especially will grab and grasp. He knew Abraham and how Abraham lived before God by faith, as is told in Hebrews 11 and Romans 4, etc. beautifully. "For I know him." And what did God know about Abraham? Why could God trust Abraham? I mean, we can all trust God. He will never fail us. But can he trust us? Are we men and women of our word? Do we keep our word before the Lord? And do we fast and pray so that the flesh is dead and crucified? Out of the way, because it will get in your way. It'll get between you and God, because he's holy, 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 a truth that is absolutely essential and yet is left out of most Christian messages today, sadly. "I know him," God said. "I know Abraham." What did he know about him? Here it is. "He will command his children and his household after him." In other words, Abraham is mine. He serves me, and he is commanding his children and will continue to command his family after the Lord, to have a heart after God, to put God first, to seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, so that all of these other things can be added unto you, to live to please God. "And they shall keep the way of the Lord." They're not shallow. They don't believe for a while and then turn away. They're like Peter in John 6, when Jesus said, all of these people, these 5,000 men, have now eaten of my goodness, but then they turned and departed, never to return to me again. "What shall you do?" And Peter said, "Lord, you have the words of eternal life. We have nowhere else to go." Is that where our hearts are, friend? Do we not realize you leaving home? It's like, remember that when you were a kid, you get mad because you didn't like the rules and regulations of the household, because you lived under a roof with a real man who, like Abraham, commanded his household to follow Christ, commanded his household after him, if you will. As Paul said, "Follow me as I follow Christ." And then as you took your little suitcase or bag that you packed to leave your household, and you walked a few feet and realized, where am I going? I mean, you're just a little kid. You don't have the ability to have a vehicle or a bicycle even, perhaps, or maybe you did. And you got all your food, you slept under your daddy and mommy's roof, and so you get what? Some of us are really rebellious. We get a block down the road before we turn around. Others of us, we sit there, we walk out of the door with our little bag of stuff that we put in there. We're 4, 5, 8, 10 years old, whatever. And we soon realize, where am I going to go? Isn't that what Peter was saying? Lord, where are we going to go? You own it all. You made it all. You are the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the end, the first and the last, who was and who is to come, the Almighty. Amen. You have the words of eternal life, and you are the only way, the truth, and the life. We love you, Jesus. That's what Peter and the apostles were saying when Jesus asked them if they would also depart and leave him. They declared their love and loyalty to him. That's the end of John 6, saints. So God says of Abraham that he would command his household after him, and they would keep the way of the Lord to do justice and judgment, that the Lord may bring upon Abraham that which he has spoken of him. See, God was able to bring upon Abraham the blessings that he ordained him to walk in and to accomplish as he fought a good fight, as he finished his course, doing what God called him to do, as he kept the faith. So when Abraham died, he died in faith. He was able to die with great confidence out of a clear conscience because he lived pleasing the Lord. And that's why God could trust him, and that's why God accomplished all the blessings that he had pronounced upon Abraham's life. And when his change came, as Job put it in the 14th chapter, verse 14 of Job, till my change come, he speaks of. And so Paul also could stand before the Lord when he was getting ready to experience the change, the transition, where he would immediately, upon closing his eyes in death on this earth, appear in the presence of the Lord. He wrote in Philippians 1, to be absent from the body is to be present with the Lord. I believe that's Philippians 1, 21 through 23. So in 2 Timothy 4, Paul says that we're to watch in all things in this life, in our calling, in our walk with God, endure afflictions, know that there's going to be afflictions. As Job put it, Job 14:1, man that is born of woman is going to be a few days and full of trouble. Now, man that is born of God, as born-again believers, is going to live in eternity in absolute bliss forever. When the change comes, Job 14:14, where we transition from this life to the next. And how is it that we can be confident? Well, we got to live by faith, regardless of what our past is. After being saved, we can repent afresh today and put our faith in Christ wholly and fully and march forward,
being assured by the Word of God that our sins are completely forgiven, vanquished. As far as the east is from the west, Psalm 103. We are forgiven upon confession, upon repentance, and we are
enduring to the end, abiding, that is, living in vital union with Christ who saved us. We are no longer our own. We are bought with the price of His blood, and we're not to be the servants of ourselves or any other men. 1 Corinthians 6, 19 and 20, and chapter 7, verse 23. And Paul said, endure afflictions and do the work of an evangelist. Again, this is something every born-again believer, every disciple of Christ is called to do. And we're loving our neighbor as we do that. And our obedience to God is the expression of our love for Him. When we're loving God with all of our heart, soul, mind, and strength, we're going to be making Him known. Then he says, make full proof of thy ministry. For I am now ready, he tells Timothy in this 2 Timothy 4 chapter, this letter. I am now ready to be offered in the time of my departure. I'm getting ready to make that change. I'm going to depart. Is at hand. I have fought a good fight. What a thing to be able to say if we could declare that even now, if it's the truth. If not, it can be, and your day's coming. My friend in Christ, I have fought a good fight. I have finished my course. I have kept the faith. Increase our faith, dear Lord. That's what I pray for the body of Christ every morning and encourage you to do so. That's what the apostles asked Jesus. Lord, please increase our faith. Luke 17, verse 5. So he did three things. He fought a good fight. finished his course, kept the faith. Henceforth, or from now on, looking forward, he's saying in verse 8, there is laid up for me a crown of righteousness. Why? Because he bore the cross in his life in this world. In fact, Paul gave us the most glorious, the Holy Ghost through Paul gave us the most glorious scriptures on the crucified life that Jesus mandated, Luke 9:23 and 24, that we live out daily. And that's the only way we can live by faith. That is living by faith. Faith comes by the word, Romans 10:17, and the word says, in the words of the Apostle Paul, I am crucified with Christ, nevertheless I live, yet not I, but Christ that liveth in me, and the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. Galatians 2:20, and some of the other great cross verses, they're all over the Bible. It's impossible to follow Jesus outside of the way he prescribed us and commanded we follow him, and that's through the crucified life, Romans 6, etc. And the way we do that is going to determine our success. And the way we're doing that now is a measure of the faith of the Son of God that we're living by or not living by. We've captured these Bible verses in the books called Raised Up, another one, I Die Daily. Those books are designed to help disciples of Christ to realize many things, including the importance of the crucified life. It's a essential. If you're going to a church or listening to a pastor that's not constantly directing you through Holy Scripture to be crucified with Christ, you're sitting under a wolf, my friend, 100%. Doesn't matter how much you like him or how he makes you feel. He's a wolf in sheep's clothing. He's an enemy of the cross of Christ, Philippians 3:18 and 19. Run for your life. Run to Jesus. And Jesus will tell you, as he has already, that you are to be crucified with him. John the Baptist said, he must increase, but I must decrease, John 3:30. So those books, Raised Up and I Die Daily, are available on Amazon, or you can just go to the store page on safeguardyoursoul.com and you'll find those two books along with several more that are in existence for one reason, to help you walk with the Lord, to edify you, to feed your spirit with his word, and to equip you for the work of the ministry. So Paul, after he had noted that he fought a good fight, finished his course, kept the faith, henceforth, he says, now looking forward, there is laid up for me a crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, shall give me at that day, and not to me only, but unto all them also that love his appearing. Do you love the appearing of the Lord? Are you looking forward and living forward to it? Are you declaring with Paul that I am to set my affection on things above, not on the things of the earth? Colossians 3, beginning in verse 1, where Paul says, if ye then be risen with Christ, you're raised up with Christ, as you were born again, you died downward in repentance, and you were buried spiritually and raised up by Christ. And that's how you're to live now, every day, reenacting that cross where you're dead and buried and Christ is raising you up. And that's the only way you can be raised up into his victory and ready to meet him, having fought a good fight, finished your course, and kept the faith. Colossians 3, 1 through 4, if ye then be risen with Christ, seek those things which are above, where Christ sitteth on the right hand of God. Set your affection on things above, not on things on the earth, for ye are dead, and your life is hid with Christ in God. Colossians 3:3, ye are dead, and your life is hid with Christ in God. And that's the people Jesus is going to bring to glory. They're going to stand before the judgment seat of Christ to be judged for their lives in this world in the flesh, but they're secure in heaven when that judgment happens. You got to endure to the end through the cross life by faith to get to that place, friend. Don't let anybody fool you. Jesus said that there would be those who would fall away. Jesus said in Revelation 2:26 that you got to keep his works to the end. You do. And in that same chapter, Revelation 2:10, be thou faithful unto death, and I will give thee a crown of life. He that hath an ear to hear, let him hear what the Spirit saith unto the churches. He that overcometh, that's a condition, that's called enduring to the end with Christ on his terms, walking and living by faith, the crucified life. He that overcometh shall not be hurt of the second death, which is going to be casting their souls into the lake of fire, those who died in sin instead of in the Savior. So verse 4, Colossians 3, when Christ, who is our life, shall appear, he's coming, friends. We just read about those who love his appearing, right? 2 Timothy 4:8. Now we're reading about those who will appear before him, and he will appear before them. When Christ, who is our life, shall appear, then shall ye also appear with him in glory. Are you going to appear with Jesus in glory? Notice, what is one of the things that's essential here leading up to that verse 4? Well, it's being dead and your life hid with Christ in God. I don't know about you, but my life has always been a mess if I'm not crucified with Christ. And God just let, it's called redemptive withdrawal. He'll let that anguish and sorrow and all of that trouble come on you because you're walking in Adam, Romans 5. You're walking in the flesh, as Job pointed out about being full of troubles, those that are born of a woman. But when you're born again, you can live in the Spirit, and no matter what trouble comes your way, God's got the answer, and he will power you through it. I picture it kind of like Teflon, if you will. That doesn't mean trouble isn't going to fall on your life. Every parade is going to get rained on in the flesh, and yet there's power in the Spirit. If you live in the Spirit, you will not fulfill the lust of the flesh. Galatians 5:16. And you're going to have the love, joy, and peace all the way through anything that happens in this life, all the way up to murder, all the way up to being martyred for Christ. And then you're going to appear with him in glory because you're crucified with him. It's essential. You can't X Jesus out of his own gospel plan by deciding that there's no crucified life in it. It's front and center. You're reenacting his own death, burial, and resurrection. He died and was buried, and God answered death and burial with resurrection. And that's what he's going to answer in your life. He's going to bring the resurrection, but not until you die and are buried. Are you sanctifying your life to the Lord every morning when you wake up to read his word and seek his face, my friend? Are you declaring with Paul that I am dead and my life is hid with Christ in God? And some of you listening to me have walked with the Lord for a long time, and longer than myself, and you are an astute disciple, and you're shaking your head saying, glory to God, I don't want any part to do of living in this life in the flesh. It doesn't bring anything good, although it promises you temporary elation or feelings or good things, but it's a lie. The devil and the flesh never warn you about the wages of sin, which is death, all of the evil that it brings. No matter where you go or what you do, you still have a miserable heart. That's one of the things that God used to lead me to him. He made me dissatisfied in this world. Nothing I did could ever give me love, joy, or peace, or any kind of level of happiness, blessedness, like Matthew 5, like the Beatitudes, which is in place. Those aren't written so you could try to be a Christian. No, that's what a Christian obediently walking with the Lord experiences, all of those blessings. You shall be filled. Verse 6, blessed are those who hunger and thirst after righteousness, for they shall be filled. And if you're not filled with God, friend, right now, you're filled with misery. I speak as a fellow man. You don't have to stay there, my friend. Thank God. So speaking of, as we come in for a landing, this change that Job spoke about, as we transition, those that are born of a woman and born of God, that's the second birth, you're born again, John 3. And then we're going to experience a change from this life into the next. Many of us have friends and family that have already transitioned, but you're not going to heaven if you're not born again and walking with Jesus. Jesus by faith, you're going straight to hell if you're living in sin. And only a liar is going to mislead you and not tell you those that thing right there I just said in no uncertain term. Ezekiel 33:12-13. If you die in sin, it doesn't matter if you lived your whole life in Christ.
And on the day you die, you're in sin. You'll die separated from the Lord and spend eternity in eternal hell.
Finishing your course
means finishing in faith. You cannot be living in sin and faith simultaneously
in obeying God by faith. If you die in sin, hell is where you'll end up in, and it's irrevocable. Ezekiel 33:12-13, Revelation 22:11, etc. Jesus said there would be those who believe for a time, whatever that time period is, doesn't matter. And in time of temptation, because they didn't abide in Christ, staying full of the Lord by daily studying His Word, living a life of prayer, and they did what? They fell away. Luke 8:13. They're going to fall away. And so are you, my friend, if you don't stay in the Word. You're a full-grown adult, my friend, every one of you, most of the people that listen to this podcast. And you get up and feed your face, but are you feeding your spirit? Job himself said, I have esteemed the words of His, God's mouth, more than my necessary food. It takes physical food to nourish and keep your body alive on this earth. It also, more importantly, and that's what Job's saying, he counted it more important that he fed his spirit the Word of God. That's your spiritual food. And if you're not ingesting it and devouring it, you've already fallen away. So today, repent, get in the Word, and don't ever get out of the Word. Wake up every morning early and seek the Lord in His strength. Seek His face continually. 1 Chronicles 16:11. So 2 Corinthians 5, let's start in verse 1. We already read a little bit of it, but let's start in verse 1. For we know that if our earthly house, this body, that is, of this tabernacle, that's our physical body, were dissolved, we have a building of God, and house not made with hands, eternal in the heavens. Oh, what a blessing. Jesus said that He was going to go and with the Father prepare a place for us, right? Eternally, eternal abode. You can read all about it in detail in the last two chapters of the Bible, especially chapter 21 of Revelation, the New Jerusalem. That's our accommodations that await those who overcome to the end. Verse 2, for in this we groan, that is, while we're in the body, this body on earth, earnestly desiring to be clothed upon with our house, which is from heaven, our eternal bodies, that is. He speaks more about that in 1 Corinthians 15. Verse 3, 2 Corinthians 5, if so be that being clothed, we shall not be found naked. Got to put on and have clean that white robe of the righteousness of Christ that's spoken about in the end of Ephesians 5 and in Revelation 19:7-10 about having no spots of sin on your garments and being ready to meet the Lord, because He's coming back. Jesus is returning for a people that have no spot or wrinkle, that are holy before Him. Ephesians 5. 5:25-27. And the body of Christ, of true remnant, is known in that they are making themselves clean for the Lord. 1 John 3:3, Revelation 19:7-9. For we that are in this tabernacle, we live in the flesh on earth for now, do groan, being burdened, not for that we would be unclothed, but clothed, that mortality might be swallowed up of life. That's what's coming when we experience the change Job spoke of, Job 14:14, when we transition to glory to be with the Lord. For he that hath wrought us for the selfsame thing is God. His ultimate goal is eternal glory with us, or us with Him, who also hath given unto us the earnest of the Spirit, the Holy Spirit. Therefore, we are always confident, knowing this, while we are at home in the body, we are absent from the Lord. Notice, when we are here on earth in this body, we are absent from the Lord. For we walk by faith and not by sight. That's a memory verse to be meditated on today and every day and declared, Lord, I live by faith and not by sight. Somebody says, well, isn't confession what the Word of Faith movement does? Yeah, but they got that from the Bible. The problem is they only confess things that are temporal, things that delight their earthly senses and feed their flesh. They're going to name and claim and blab and grab bigger house or a bigger car, all of that self-serving stuff. No, we live by faith in the Lord. We endure afflictions as good soldiers of Jesus Christ. We're here to fight a good fight, finish our course,
to obey God
and keep the faith. So declaring, we are to meditate and speak out the word, confess it. Joshua 1:8, this book of the law, the word, shall not depart out of your what? Mouth. Out of your mouth, speak it. Speak out things like, I am crucified with Christ today. Declare it, confront it, nail it down. Say it out of the words of your mouth, that you walk by faith, not by sight. You're crucified with Christ. You're not your own. You're bought with a price. How many other people listening to me have to be reminded of these things daily? Well, that's all of us, I'm sure. We are confident, Paul said, I say, and willing, verse 8, 2 Corinthians 5, we are confident, I say, and willing rather to be absent from the body and to be present with the Lord. That's right. We're going on an eternal vacation. You know how excited you get when you're getting ready to go travel somewhere and you just have butterflies in your stomach. When we start seeing the kingdom, as Paul is saying it here, we should be getting very excited. And that's fuel added to the fire. We are confident, I say, and willing rather to be absent from the body on earth, the temporal body, and to be present with the Lord. So what happens when you leave this body? You're going to go to be with the Lord, just like the two men in Luke 16. One of them was rich on earth, but he went straight to hell because he didn't know the Lord, and he proved that by not helping those around him. But Lazarus, the poor man in Luke 16, knew the Lord, and so he transitioned to eternal bliss and comfort. We're all going to one of the other, heaven or hell. Hell is a place to shun, and heaven is a place to gain. Then he says, wherefore we labor, knowing these things. Saints, we are to labor. We're to obey the Lord. We're to love him with all of our heart, soul, mind, and strength, and live by faith.
Hebrews 4:11 says that we are to labor to enter into that rest. That would be the eternal rest that lies ahead for those who are fighting the good fight, who are finishing their course that God is giving them, and also keeping the faith. Back to 2 Corinthians 5, verse 9.
That whether present or absent, we may be accepted of him. Doesn't sound much like once saved, always saved to me. No, we're talking about labor. That whether we're in this body or transitioning, changing to eternity, we may be accepted of him. Not everybody's going to be accepted of him who was once saved
when they transition from this life to the next. Verse 10, 2 Corinthians 5, for we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ. And here's why. That everyone may receive the things done in his body, that is, while on earth, according to that he hath done, whether it be good or bad. And that's 2 Corinthians 5, verse 10.
Notice the verse we quoted earlier, Hebrews 9:27, and we're going to read 28. As it is appointed unto men once to die, when we die, we're going to change locations, but after this, the judgment. You're going to be immediately judged, as was the once rich man and Lazarus in Luke 16. They both immediately upon drawing their last breath on earth, translated directly into their eternal abode, which they reaped. Everybody's going to reap what they sow in their life on earth. The once rich man is now in fire. He's been there 2,000 years at least, and he's not received even one drop of water to comfort him. And Lazarus, who was a poor man on earth, is now living in the riches of God's house, in the unending bliss. Don't miss it for the world, my friend. So we face judgment, every one of us. We have an appointment with it. So Christ was once offered to bear the sins of many. Jesus died once, perfect sacrifice. And unto them that look for him, are you looking for the return of Christ? By the way you live, not by hostile observation and panic, but by having your hand on the plow and not looking back, Luke 9:62, by obeying the Lord, by being being one of those he spoke of when he said, "This gospel of the kingdom shall be preached in all the world." Are you one of those heralds and communicators of his gospel? Are you busy about the Father's business or your own? It's either one or the other. So Christ was once offered in light of our being judged upon death. Verse 28, Hebrews 9. So Christ was once offered to bear the sins of many, and unto them that look for him, that is, by the way they live, shall he appear the second time without sin unto salvation. And Hebrews also, chapter 5, verse 9, and being made perfect, Jesus, that is, he learned by way of the things that he suffered in this life, it says. And then he says in verse 9, Hebrews 5, and being made perfect, he became the author of eternal salvation unto all them that obey him. Did you catch that? That's a rebuke, that part of the truth of God, to easy believism that is peddled so often by the false teachers of our day, because they want people to be a member of their church and not to be convicted, because they want them to stay and continue to drop their coin in their coffers. But truth tellers don't live for money and greed on earth. They don't peddle the gospel by turning it into a cotton candy gospel. They preach the full spectrum of all that God said, including this verse here, unto all them that obey him. If you love him and you're trusting him, you're obeying him. That's Hebrews 5:9. Jesus told us, not everyone that saith unto me, Lord, Lord, shall enter into the kingdom of heaven, but he that doeth the will of my Father which is in heaven. Matthew 7:21. We're saved by grace through faith, saints, and that is not of ourselves, it is the gift of God, not of works. We didn't work for it. Jesus did, the one work for it. Lest any man should boast, for we, then he didn't finish there, for we are his workmanship. He's working in us, Philippians 2:12-13, both to will and to do of his good pleasure. As we're abiding in him, we're working out, not for, our salvation with fear and trembling. Salvation in Christ is not a one and done. Your initial salvation, where you repented and received Christ and were saved, born again, is the beginning of your relationship with him. And that relationship is a two-party relationship. There are conditions to be met, or you will not be given the crown. So many love the idea of the heavenly crown, but they don't like the cross on earth. They won't receive the crown unless they take up the cross. You can be assured of that. For we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus unto good works. He saved us to what? Unto good works, which God hath before ordained. He ordained us to walk in these good works, that we should walk in them. Let's pray together, saints, given, and pray the word that we have looked at today. What an amazing message from the Word of God. It's not our message, it's his. But he gave it to us today. And Heavenly Father, we know that our lives in this world are a test, and the brevity of them should be made known to each of our hearts. Let it be, Lord. Unite our hearts to fear thy name and realize that we cannot repeat this life on earth. There are no do-overs, because you said it is appointed on the men once to die, but after this to judgment. And you're coming back, and you're going to welcome into glory, if they die before your return, all those that are obeying you, because they prove they love you. They prove that they are your bride. They prove that they live by faith, without which no man can please you, O God. Now we ask you to strip us and to eradicate, to remove all deceit, evil, excuse-making, rebellion, self-idolatry, spiritual adultery, and every other evil thing out of our lives, God. Let us be crucified with thee, dear Lord. We repent now. We turn again to you, Lord, and ask you to refresh us. Fill us with your Spirit, Lord. Bless us to abide in you and stand perfect and complete in all the will of God as we look for your soon return, or our own transitioning, our change from this life into eternity with you, whichever comes first. In Jesus' name, amen.
Well, brothers and sisters, it's been a blessing to spend these moments with you in the Word of God. And remember, there's hundreds of more Christ-centered, scripture-rich, edifying podcasts on safeguardyoursoul.com/audios. There's also a store page with several many books on there for your edification in Christ. They're all scripture-rich and Christ-centered. Also, tens of thousands of saints and sinners are being reached every month, and your prayers are coveted for the fruitfulness and supply of this outreach. God be praised, by the way, for those who are supporting. And feel free to visit our donate page on the site, and you can use your debit card, PayPal, or Patreon, and you can become a monthly sustaining member if you choose to do so, and a gift of any amount is so appreciated. Part of this outreach is to equip and supply other ministering disciples across our great country and all over the world. And may God be praised that there's fruitfulness happening among His people and through His beloved saints, as we know that the return of our Lord Jesus Christ draws nigh. And we say together in the words of Revelation 22, "Even so, come, Lord Jesus." Amen.